Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
For many weeks now, we have been speaking about how to power your life by the grace of God. And by that, we mean that when God wanted to do something in this life, and let me start from there. When God wanted to bless mankind, what he did was to give them somebody. It's always the order of God. That is, if I want to bless people, I send somebody into their lives. That is, when I want to deliver Israel, I send a Moses. And that when anytime God does that, anytime God sends somebody like that, the fact is that the job will always look much bigger than the person by himself will be able to accomplish. So God will send you to do a task that is greater than you. And that is why you will need a power bigger than you to do that task. And that power that you need to do a task that is much greater than your physical circumstances are dictating is what we call the grace of God. So Isaiah said it like this: the Lord has sent me and his spirit. That is, there is a spirit, an enabling force that is working with me. So anytime I'm doing what God has sent me to do, I will find great results. Paul said that by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his power working towards me did not prove vain, in that you will see the results of my labor. It was not I, it was the power or the grace of God working with me. And if you want to excel in life, you need this grace. You see, there are many ways to excel. Like I always say, illustrate, there are many ways to get from Enugu to Lagos. You could go by air and you are there in 1 hour feeling just as fresh as if you just left your bedroom. Or you could go by road. It will take you a few hours. If you get a comfortable bus, you will get there also. Or you might decide to trek. And whichever way you go, you will get to Lagos. It's what it will cost you we are talking about. It's how much physical energy it will cost you to reach Lagos. What am I trying to say? You want to succeed in life. You want to get results. There are many ways. You can toil. God told Adam that there is a principle of toiling which you will begin to use to get results. You can labor. You can try your best. You can study very hard. You can exert yourself exceedingly. There's so much energy within the man's soul. You can use it and you will get some degree of results. But then, by the time you are achieving those results, you are worn out. You are exhausted. So by the time you are 45, you have built a big company, but you've had a stroke also. Are you getting my point? By the time you are 45, you have really, really labored. You have acquired much in life, but you don't have the ability to enjoy it. Appetite has been taken away from you. And Solomon said, there is nothing better than for a man to rejoice in the labor of his hands. I am saying, for you to see results in life and still have the ability to rejoice in them is what is called grace. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen, there's nothing that God wants to do that human beings cannot try to attain by themselves. It's how far they will go in trying to do it. That's what differentiates a man walking by grace and from the man who is struggling by his own energy. And that is just a fact. Listen, the problem we have in life sometimes is that we are comparing ourselves with the successes of people before us, but we do not realize that those successes are far inferior to what God could do in their lives or what God is planning to do in your life. So if you have achieved something great, you look at it and say that, me too, I have tried. I like what one great industrialist in Nigeria said some time ago. He said that, he's a young man also, about the age of 40, and he said he employs about 10,000 people. He feels like, well, he has done something. He said, but when he thinks of people like Michael Dell, who are employing hundreds of thousands, he realizes that he has not started. But unfortunately, a lot of the people we see around us, they have only employed 3 people, and they are already calling them chairman, the big boss. The guy is feeling very, very happy with himself. He feels like he has done something. Therefore, the thing that God wants to really do in his life, he never sees it. But people around think that he has succeeded. What am I trying to say? That is, what God really wants to do in the lives of people is so much greater than they have ever imagined. That's why he said, eyes have not seen, neither have ears heard. All right? Nor has he entered the heart of man. That is, men have not yet imagined it, what God prepared for those who love him. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's so important we get this point, that the only way by which you can get to what God has prepared for you is by the power of God, and that is what is called grace. I just feel like talking briefly about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ at this particular point in time. Because you see, Paul said that it's by him we have been introduced into this grace wherein we stand. Are you getting what I'm saying? That when we say people should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not saying that come and become very dry and religious and go start going to church. We are saying that your life will never have meaning. There are many of the things you are struggling for, they actually have been prepared by God the Father for you. But until you are introduced to God by the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never attain them. That you will struggle like everybody else. All the calamities will also come upon you like it is coming upon other people. We said this is deliverance, that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, this is how you pass away from death into life. What is death? People ask you sometimes that when God said that Adam would die that day that he sinned, did he really die? I say, indeed, if you understand the meaning of death, he died. Death is not just that you get involved in a road traffic accident and then your brain is damaged and then you die. That is one level of death. But I'll tell you what death really means. God spoke to Adam. He said that the earth will start yielding for you thorns and thistles. That is, you have to labor. From the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. It is not as if Adam was not working before. We know that when God placed him in the Garden of Eden, God placed him there to guard it and to keep it. Are you guys what I want to say? We knew he was working. But then when Adam will sow, he will reap, and locusts will not destroy his crop. But when he now got outside, he had to start fighting off birds. He had to start fighting off pests. He had to start working extra hard to get little result. And when he will bring that result down home, he will put it into a pocket filled with holes. That is the meaning of the word death. Do you get what I'm going to say? That is, the forces of life are no longer cooperating with him. That is, the elements of this world, when they see him, they react negatively towards him. That is what is called death. But this is what Jesus does. He brings life. Anybody who has believed in him, he said in John chapter 5, verse 24, he said he has passed out of death into life. That is, what Jesus does for you is to introduce you to the grace of the Father. Are you getting my point? He introduces you to the power of God to get results in life. You know, look, for me personally, this is my goal in life, to discover what God wants me to do in life and get great results in doing it. Now, by that, I don't mean that I will struggle more than anybody else. That's what grace is. It means that I will discover what I know how to do. Do you get my point? And I will do it faithfully in the opportunities that God might have given me to do them. And then God will amplify my efforts. So Paul will say, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave great increase. That is, the prayer I'm praying is that God will give great increase to the labors of my hands. And that is what is called grace. Do you understand what I'm going to say here? The problem with people is that they are running after things that are bigger than them and using efforts that are small in life. God said that you have run after ordinary men and they have worn you out. He said, what will you do when you start racing against horses? Are you getting what I'm saying? People are using energies, you know. Young boys, instead of sleeping, they are up, they are there all night trying to defraud a white man. Are you getting my point? They are using energies to run against men. At the end of the day, if you're a young man, you're involved in this, listen to this. I am not angry with you. I am not cursing you. I am just sorry for you. Listen to me. At the age of 35, most likely you will be dead or you'll be death poor. That's all. It's not like somebody is angry with you. Say, you're not going to church. No, that's not the point. We are saying that, why are you laboring for what will kill you? Why are you laboring for that which is very transient? Are you getting my point? The way you get the result is the way you will sustain it. If you made a million stealing, you have to continue stealing to sustain the million. Are you getting what I'm saying? And if you continue stealing, one day they will catch you and they will kill you. Simple. That's just the way it works. But we are saying that there is something that can be done in your life, that anything that you are wishing for, all the things that you are longing for, God can give you far better, far bigger than that. All he's saying is that you just have to walk with me. He said to Abraham, walk before me and be perfect, and I will bless you. That's the way it works. You cannot walk with me and then tell me when I will bless you. He said, no, walk with me, be perfect in your walk with me, then I will bless you. And the Bible says, those that hopefully wait for him will never be put to shame. Listen, those who are in a hurry, God said that those of you who I have kept in darkness, but you have lighted your own fire. He said, you have encircled yourself with your own firebrands. He said, this you will have of the hand of the Lord, you will lie down in sorrow. Let me just share this one with us, with your young men and women. Listen, God is very good. God is very gracious. God is able to and is willing to give you more than you can ever imagine. But the blessings of God, they are weights. They are heavy. If God gives you a blessing that's bigger than you, that blessing may be the thing that will kill you. Therefore, before he blesses you, he reforms your character. He reforms your inward parts. He begins to give you words, teaching you how to walk in the land of blessing. When the children of Israel were going to enter into the promised land, Moses gave them commandments in the wilderness on how they will walk when they get into the land that flows with milk and honey. Are you getting my point? So God takes his time to form character into you. You get what I'm saying? To form that ability, the strength of the spirit, the strength of the soul to sustain the blessings of God. God takes time to build it into you. Therefore, you are broke today. God said, let me show you how it works. If a man is broke, he must not steal. Are you getting my point? That if a man is broke, he should sit down and begin to pray. And God will give him ideas on how to become productive. And then you learn that one, and you move to another level. And then you're no longer so broke. Now you have a bit of money. Because the next thing I'm teaching you is how to manage money. Because a lot of people that God give money to, they do the very thing God doesn't want them to do with money. They squander it, they misuse it, they corrupt other people with it, they buy people's consciences, they become troublemakers. Are you getting my point? The reason being that they feel that if we get into trouble, we will just buy ourselves out of trouble. God says, so I will give you a little bit of money and then I will train you on how to use money. I will train you on how to sow spiritual seeds. I will train you how to sow physical seeds. And I'm going to talk about seeds beginning from today. And I will train you on how to use money to bless yourself and bless other people. When you have lent it with 1,000, I increase it to 10,000. When you have lent it with 10,000, I increase it to 100. One day, when you have lent with 100,000, you wake up one morning, I'm already giving you in millions. But this takes time. I probably started with you when you were 16. We've been on this walk, now you are 26, and we'll continue till you are 36. And then maybe at the age of 36, you just look back, you look at your life, everything that your friends were struggling for when they were 20, you have it now, and you are alive and you are well. You have a stable family. You have a good wife. You have good children. Some of those, your friends are dead. The other ones are going around begging. When you drive by, they are hailing you, not asking anything for the boys. Do you get my point? A friend of mine was telling me the other day about a man who suddenly found himself in a prominent position. And it was somebody they knew. And then he began to look down on all of his friends. And then one day something happened. They sacked him from the position. The same people he was talking anyhow to and looking down on, he would not come down to them again and say, please, he wants to go somewhere. He doesn't have any transport money. Whether they can find him something. He said he would look at the man and smile, dip his hand in his pocket and give him some money. Do you know what happened? God just showed that guy that you don't know how to handle wealth. You don't know how to handle power. You don't know how to handle money. So I've taken it away from you. Are you getting my point? There was something Abraham Lincoln said. He said, any man can survive adversity. That it takes a real man to survive prosperity. That is the first thing that God does, is that he takes you through adversity. And it trains you. When you have passed the test of adversity, it now takes you into the realm of small prosperity. And it begins to train you in prosperity. Then when you are able to handle it, then one day it pours great blessing upon you. But people are not willing to wait for the process of God. They are in a hurry. Listen, there is nothing that Satan can offer anybody, listen to me, that God cannot give him much more than that. And let me say clearly like this. Indeed, there is nothing that Satan has ever given anybody that God did not plan originally to give that person. That is, if Jesus had bowed down to Satan during the temptation in the wilderness, Satan would have given him all the kingdoms of the world in the moment of time. Are you getting my point? And then people will say that guy was smart. He just bowed small to Satan and look at all he got. But what he will not understand is that he has become a slave of Satan. Do you follow my point? And most people will not realize that what God was actually planning was that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Do you follow my point? That is what Satan gives him temporarily. God said he will reign forever. So maybe you are a rich man now, because you sacrificed your first son. Are you getting what I say? You are a rich man now because you did so. You entered into a cult group. And now you two can boast of 100 million naira, 200 million naira. God said, look at this idiot. I will have given him 100 million US dollars. He said, the difference is that Satan says, I don't have to work on your character. You can be a thief. You can be a cheat. You can be a useless person. It doesn't matter. I will still give you money. That is why you find rogues all over town. Thieves driving big cars. Are you getting what I say? Because Satan doesn't care. But God said, no. I don't do it like that. You must walk with me and become perfect. And I increase you gradually. That the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man sows. It grows bit by bit. It grows in stages. He said, first the blade. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus was speaking. He said, then the ear. Then the full grain in the ear. And then there is a time that the Bible calls, if you use the King James, it said when the crop permits, that there is a season in which the thing is not ready. But there is a season in which it becomes ready. Then the man puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. God takes time to take you to your harvest. In that season, is he wasting time? He doesn't waste time. He knows what he's doing. Before God gave Isaac to Abraham, it took God 25 years of training. God could have given Isaac to Abraham like this, bam, day one. But what will he achieve? Another spoiled little child who cannot pass the covenants of God down in his generations. God said it doesn't work like that. I want to bless Abraham forever. His name must be a source of blessing for all the generations of the earth till this earth passes on. That people will gather thousands of years after now, they will be singing, Abraham's blessings are mine. He said, if I want that to become, then I cannot give Isaac to Abraham on day one. I must train Abraham.
Abraham must go through adversity. There will be difficult times. Let me show him how to respond. Let me show him how to respond to strangers. Let me show him how to pray for those who are in distress. Let me show him how he will live life in the face of the oppositions of his enemies, holding on to the promise of God. Let me show him how to walk in patience. God taught him all these things. And then one day, God said, within a year, your wife will be here. Are you getting my point? At that time, Sarah was 90 years old. Even Sarah wasn't sure that she heard it correctly. Indeed, God came through. And when God came through with Isaac, a few years down the line, God said, go and sacrifice Isaac. God has so worked on Abraham that Abraham, people said that they thought that Abraham was contemplating. Listen, the Bible said that Abraham knew that Isaac would be raised again from the dead. Yet, there was no record that anybody was ever raised before then. But you know what happened? He was the first to be raised. The Bible said his body was as good as dead. God raised it back to life. Do you understand my point? This is a fact. This is a scriptural fact. Sarah was so rejuvenated, her youth was so renewed that as a 70-year-old woman, kings were chasing her. Look, are you getting what I say? Because those people experienced the power of God. So when God now says, sacrifice Isaac, they say that's a small thing. But God needed Abraham to take that step in sacrificing Isaac for him to now begin to swear. He said, I have sworn that in blessing, I will bless you. What am I trying to say in all of these things? That God still wants to bless people like he blessed Abraham. And just like Abraham, he's never in a hurry. Do you follow my point? God will take you through training. The fact that you are in a country where they take light every time is part of the training. You don't get what I'm saying. It's part of the training. There are certain ideas that will never come into your mind, all right, except that you were in a place where there were days you slept without light, despite the fact that you paid your bills. Are you getting my point? Look, God is not stupid. He could have given birth to you in Australia too. I mean, there are blacks there. He could have given birth to you in America. There are blacks there. So he gave birth to you in Nigeria. No, that's why I'm proud of my citizenship. I am proud of it. I know God specially packaged me for this nation. I like what Miles Monroe said. Miles Monroe, a great man on this earth today, he said if you go to the website of his country, I was listening to his message a few days ago on Destiny. He said, go to my country's website. You will see it. My face is there. One of the top men in that nation also. He said he schooled in America. When he was going back home, he was working at the university with Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts called him and said, ask me for anything you want. We'll pay you, but please stay here. He said, look at our robots and say, sir, I was created to work in the Bahamas. I was created to do something there. Therefore, I'm going back to a third world country. Some of us want to die to go to America. Now, a man was in America. He came back home and said, no, this is the place of my assignment. Do you understand my point? Listen, if it is wealth now, he has it. If it is dignity, he has it. Anywhere he goes in the world now, he's recognized as a diplomat and is the pastor of a church. Are you getting my point? He's virtually an ambassador for his country everywhere he goes. But that was because he recognized at the time that I was created in the Bahamas. God said, go and work there. So he left America where he went to school and went back home. He didn't go back home to something great. He went back to go and start from the scratch a Christian ministry. Look, listen. His books are bestsellers in America. Do you understand my point? Let nobody fool you that you are disadvantaged because of where you are. Listen, we are talking about grace, the grace of God. This is the grace of God, listen, that no matter the disadvantage, God can still make something great out of your life. I was teaching the other day about David, that when they wanted to anoint a king, because people sometimes think that this man made it because he's in Lagos, this one made it because he's in Port Harcourt, this one made it because he's in New York, they think geographical location is what decides the man who will succeed and who will not. Listen, if you are walking by anyhow chance, maybe. But I'm walking by the blessedness of God. I'm walking by the grace of God. And my blessing has my name on it. No matter the wilderness I plant myself, if I'm walking with God, the blessing will come there and look for me. When God said through Samuel to Saul, he said, I have found a man after my heart. I want to appoint him as king in your replacement. So God now sent Samuel to the house of Jesse to go and anoint for him a king that he had already found. David was not at home. They told Jesse, where are all your sons? He called everyone and did not call David. But listen, he said, we will not sit down or eat until that boy comes. Are you getting my point? Because the oil he came with had David's name inside it. Until he found David, he couldn't pour that oil. Are you getting what I am saying? That is, if God really has blessed you, you might be in a Abakaliki tonight listening to me. It doesn't mean you will not prosper more than the man who is living next door to Aso Rock in Abuja. One day, somebody will phone you from America. Please, can you lend us $10,000? You are in Nigeria. Are you getting my point? That is what is called grace. It produces results when people don't expect it. When a small man gets great results, people say, how did he manage? He said, it's by the grace of God. Grace doesn't mean I'm eating. Listen, you will eat and you'll be satisfied. How much food can a man eat, I always say? Grace means I can feed a multitude. That's what grace is. Let nobody discourage you that you are a disadvantaged person. I like to tell Nigerians, especially young people at this time, you are not disadvantaged in any form. You are not disadvantaged in any form. I was looking at a photograph just now about a young woman who they deceived that she's going to make it big. They sent her to New York. I looked at her picture a few years after. Yes, people know her name. I have enough understanding to look at that photograph. I say, this girl is a failure already. In a few years' time, she'll be back at home in nonentity. Except she receives the power of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about. Except she receives it. What happened? Everybody said that America is where it is. They sell you into slavery for a small amount of dollars. When you finally come back home and settle, you will see your friends that you were laughing at then. They will be established. They will have good businesses, good income, good families, and they will not be stressed. The very thing you run all over the world looking for, they will just look. See, because I always tell people that, look, this is how life is. 15 years will pass just now. I remember when I entered university. When I go to study medicine, my friends say, for 6 years? 6 years? How can I be in school for 6 years? Because those days, at least, school was regular. A few years later, 6 years passed as if nothing had happened. Then it dawned on me recently. There are people who were born, the year I left that school, they are already in university. And I still call myself a young man. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That this is what we are saying. It will soon come to pass. Do you follow my point? The time will fly quickly. You had better stay with God now so that the time will not fly past and it only return the finger to your mouth in regret. It's better the time flies by and you look back and say, was this not the car of them wanted to die for that time, doing for one night all night? Now, is this not the same cars I have driven and I'm tired of them? And I have not soiled my hands and God has blessed me? Is this not my wife with me? Are these not my children? Are these not people that I've employed? At least 500 people are eating every day now because I obeyed God. You start remembering your friends. Remember one who did 419 so much that one of his colleagues shot him because he defrauded that one. And he's dead. I don't know whether I shared this story with us here before, but a young man in my church, one day he was preaching. And he shared the testimony of how he and four of his friends, they went into 419. Before the money came back, they made some money. But before the money arrived, he had given his life to Christ. Like I said earlier about the power of the grace of Jesus. Jesus had reintroduced him into the plan of God for his life. And then, you know, Satan is a tempter. Satan is what? A tempter. The money now came, and his friends came and said, money has come, come and take your portion. Hey, he looked at it. Jesus said, there is nobody, having put his hands on the plow, that looks back, that is worthy of the kingdom. Are you getting my point? He said, he asked his father for counsel. His father told him just what I have said now. He said, forget it. So he told his friends, I am not interested in that crooked money. His testimony, he said, as at that day that he was sharing with us, every one of his friends, each one was dead apart from him that did not take the money. Many of the monies that people have sent to you, when they realize that they lost their money, they sent a curse with it. That thing is right now eating your pancreas. You don't know. You are driving a BMW X5 all over town. You are driving an Infiniti QX all over town. You are feeling happy. You don't know that your kidneys have been sacrificed by the curse of a man that you defrauded. People don't realize what they are doing. This is what iniquity does for you. It kills you before your time. It denies you of the ability to make progress. The strength that God has given you for long life and for prosperity, like we always say, you sacrifice it on the altar of quick money. Quick money. Are you getting my point? And assuredly, I tell you, every one of you that's involved in that, giving Nigeria a bad name, at the age of 40, you will be poor and begging. Do you get my point? That's if you live till you are 40. I'm giving you one opportunity tonight to repent. I am a man of God. I am telling you, your time for repentance is now. A new order is being introduced into this country. If you continue defrauding people, you will become broke. You will beg on the streets. The same places where you drove cars by, are you getting me? People will look at you and use you to tell their children on the value of honesty. Say, that man is a crook. Can you see why he's begging? What am I preaching tonight? Trying to scare somebody? No! I am telling you that there is redemption in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? That if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creature. All things are passed away. Everything becomes new. That God now puts him in the path of the plan of God for his life, and then he can experience the grace of God. Do you get the point I'm making? That is what it means to be a Christian. It means that I used to steal. and I injured people by my stealing. Are you getting my point? I defrauded people and I incurred curses upon myself. But now I have been freed from those curses by the power of the blood of Jesus. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. So we have been talking about grace. Without this, listen, you cannot experience the grace of God. You can't. The blood of Jesus must be poured upon your soul for you to be able to receive of the grace of God. We have been saying this is about grace. We said grace is when God begins to work magnificently in your life, producing great results with clean hands where other people thought results were not possible. I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make here. Now, what have we seen about grace? There is a place where you are great. That is, God has poured grace upon your heart naturally. And God wants to do something greater. God said, with that greater thing I'm doing, you will be a blessing to your nation. You will be a blessing to your generations. Four ingredients we have been explaining that make for success in life. We said, number one, you pray to God. It's a sign of your faith. Number two, you begin to prophesy that goodness and mercy. You are declaring the future upon everything that you are getting involved in. And we said number three, there is a seed. And then four, there is rest. When you have entered the stage of rest, then you are able to begin to receive greatness from the hand of the Lord. Now, because our time is almost up, I just have enough time to introduce the third on our series. Because we have talked about prayer, we have talked about prophecy extensively. Now, today I want to introduce the matter of seed. When we talk about seed, it's a spiritual principle that God has established. He said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not cease. I've said this again and again. If you listen to me, you have heard it. That I say most of the things that people are looking for in life, they are actually results. They are fruits for the proper seeds sown. So life is in two seasons, broadly speaking. There is seed time and there is harvest. And we have seen in previous times, many, many months ago on this broadcast, that the seed time is what the Bible calls the days of young manhood. Are you getting my point? And then that's for general life. And in every endeavor of life, in every business, in everything that you want to get involved in, the earlier parts of that business is the seed time. I said something earlier today that in every season of God, in everything that God is involved in, there are two seasons. There is evening and there is morning. And evening is always first. Evening is a time when there is little. And let me tell you, that is when you really plant your seeds. Do you get my point? Now, to begin to explain that, I think I should just quickly read two portions of the scriptures. It will help us. Psalm 126 from verse 4. The people were praying to God. They said, restore our captivity, O Lord, as streams renew the desert. God now answered them in verse 5. He said, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He said, he who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, please note that, and I want us to quickly note another scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. It said, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Now, I've read these two scriptures to explain a principle to us, that anything that God wants to do in life, it starts with a seed. What God actually gives you is a seed for that thing you want to do. Now, I want to introduce two things to us today, and I'll develop it next time. There are actually two kinds of seeds in life. There is a spiritual seed, and there is a physical seed. The spiritual seed is more important than the physical seed. But without the physical seed, you will never reap the rewards of the spiritual seed. What is the spiritual seed? It is that with which you buy for yourself what the Bible calls treasure in heaven. I'll begin to develop this one from next time.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.